Because of course he could have just quietly gone back, and it's at great expense, and of course sacrifice to him with his and his family that he's had to prolong his stay under these kind of circumstances. But he's determined to clear his name and presumably to make sure a negative precedent isn't set. I mean, can you describe day to day what that actually is like?
Sure, he could have, absolutely right. He could have gone home and just continued back to his family. He's got eight children and a wife that are waiting for him and missing him dearly. He's the head of a movement there that's dearly missing his leadership, but he's here because he knows it's important to clear his name for the movement in itself in general, because allegations against him will have ramifications on the pro-Palestinian movement. At the beginning, he was denied bail, which went to the High Court. Eventually, he was granted bail, but then he was on house arrest, so he has to be home by a certain time. Restriction, he can't actually speak. Funny enough, he came into the UK to speak in Parliament, which he did in the House of Lords, but he was supposed to speak at a PSC event on a Wednesday, and his tour has been cut short. He's not allowed to speak publicly, and people would, right now, people are willing to hear him, they want to hear him, and that's exactly why they've stopped him from speaking, because people want to. He's a very, I've been lucky enough to meet him. He's a very softly spoken gentleman who you can really relate to quite easily, even through an interpreter. So this is why the message of peace and unity and bring people together about what the truth about the issues in Jerusalem and Palestine and Masjid Al-Aqsa is, because he's one of the foremost defenders of Masjid Al-Aqsa.
Hanan, if I can quickly come back to yourself. I mean, some people say there's a blatant double standard here, but that's nothing new. But do you think the opposite effect may come about? They were trying to silence this man, but perhaps the courts will vindicate him, and even more people may even get to hear him in the UK.
Well, absolutely, that's the hope. I mean, the fact is that he has a lot of support already around the world. People are very distressed by the government's decision. There were protests by thousands of people all around the world, from Nazareth, South Africa, Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, Jordan, London, Turkey. He's had people supporting him, statements from people like Hanan Ashrawi, Noam Chomsky, Ilan Pappe, from all over the world. So, and Muslims and non-Muslims, and Jews and Christians, not just Muslims. And people already want to hear him. And so, yes, it is going to have the opposite effect. People now want to know, well, why is he being excluded? And all the reasons that they gave have just proved to be based on nonsense, really. I mean, there were allegations of anti-Semitism. He's very clearly refuted all those allegations. And when you look at what the government has based their reasoning on, it seems to be on hearsay and on groups like the CST and the, you know, sort of statements being made in the pro-Zionist websites, and not based on solid evidence at all. And the fact that he's had so many people coming out and supporting him, we're hoping the court will make the right decision today. As mentioned already, he won the bail hearing. He's now won the detention and arrest section. That's been shown that was unlawful. Now the final stage is this deportation issue, which is taking place today. And we hope that he will have a chance to stand and talk. And that's the only reason he came, was to speak to the British public about what's taking place in Palestine and Israel today.
But do you think the fact that it's taken this process, and we still don't know the exact outcome, it may actually put off other people? And that is one of the aims, surely, of trying to stifle the pro-Palestinian movement, that it becomes such a hassle. People have to go through so much that some people decide, well, actually, it's not worth the trouble.
Absolutely, and I think that is the intention, and I think that is something that the Zionist lobby, this is a new tactic, trying the legal route. I mean, for example, just Jehrad alone, they've tried silencing him on so many occasions. On the Freedom Flotilla, on the Mavi Marmara with Sarah, someone identical to Jehrad was killed, and people believe there was an assassination attempt. He was shot in the head in the year 2000. We've had people confessing that Shin Bet paid them to kill him or to plant drugs on him. There's been provocation attempts coming back from Omra. They tried to strip search his wife and, you know, get him to react and arrest him that way. They've tried so many ways of silencing him because he's a strong, moderate voice for the Palestinian people. And yes, of course, this is going to intimidate other people from coming to the UK and speaking out, and that's their intention. But hopefully, if he wins his case and, you know, through the legal proceedings, people will see that this is a tactic of the Zionist lobby, and hopefully people won't be intimidated, and it will give people more encouragement to come and stand and speak out for the rights of the Palestinian people.
Well, talking of intimidation tactics, Sarah, you were there on the flotilla that was attacked, and yet you're still here fighting for Palestinians and defending the right of Sheikh Raed Saleh to speak for Palestinians. So what would be your response to these kinds of intimidation attempts?
Well, my response is, firstly, these are very desperate measures that are being used by the British government and the Israeli government to try and silence those speaking out for Palestinian rights. And there's a reason why, because, as Melanie Phillips has pointed out, Israel has lost the battle for public opinion. This is all about the support for Palestinian rights is at a fantastically high level. And so people should not feel disheartened by this. They should understand that it's because the solidarity movement has made such massive inroads that these sort of extreme measures are being used to try and silence us. And so this really proves, and again with the Mavi Marmara, I mean, if you saw, if you look back and remember those, the demonstrations, the show of solidarity and support, that wave of solidarity. And I think that that is our responsibility now, all over the world, particularly in Britain. We really need to be stepping up solidarity with Palestine, because that is what is going to make the difference.
Well, you're saying that Israel perhaps is feeling more isolated, and these are tactics of desperation following the attack on the flotilla. Turkey has now cut all diplomatic ties. That's not something I think Israel would have predicted. But what would be your response to that?
The ties with Turkey. It could have been something that they could have predicted, but to be honest, I think they didn't know that Erdogan is going to be so strong. We've got a leader in Turkey that's prepared to act, walk the talk. He's actually doing something about it, and it's something that other countries should actually be taking leadership from, because for once, government is actually doing something in terms of putting sanctions across, whereas in the UK at the moment, with our government not doing anything, it's left up to us as civilians to boycott, to do something productive and boycott, yeah. Boycott Israel, boycott products that come from Israel, boycott cultural events that have links to Israel as well, because our government isn't doing anything, whereas Turkey is.
Well, Hanan, if I can just come back to you before we end. It was your organisation which hosted the Sheikh. What would be your response in terms of encouraging others to support this case? What can ordinary people do?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we have to stand beside the people who are standing up for the Palestinians' rights. And he was very brave to come over in the first place. We have to put pressure on our own government, I think. The fact that he is allowed to walk and talk in Israel, he's been to speak in Tel Aviv University, he's given a platform. And the fact that when he comes to our country, we arrest him. There's something very wrong with that, not just the double standards, but the fact that we're doing Israel's dirty work for them, essentially. So I think things like last week, the change in the universal jurisdiction, I think that went through sort of slightly under the radar. I think pro-Palestinian activists were aware, but not the wider public were aware of what this means. So I think people need to be a lot more aware of what's going on with this government and keeping their eye on issues, lobby the parliamentarians, as your guests have already said as well, take part in the BDS campaign, get involved in boycotting Israeli goods. The same way the South African apartheid was defeated by the mass public movement, that same thing needs to happen in the Palestinian case. So I think people just need to really get on board. As Sarah said now, sort of there is a massive amount of solidarity at the moment, and we need to utilise this to the advantage of the people and fighting for their human rights and dignity in Palestine.
Well, thank you for that. We have no more time for today's show, but we'll definitely be keeping up to date with this case and bring you developments as we see them. Thank you so much to all our guests for being with us. Don't forget, the programme will be repeated on YouTube, and you can tweet us now as well, as we have our own Twitter account, and we'd love to get your responses in. So do join us same time next week.